Rabbi Dafka Gabi Edi Zum Islay Dememo. The Zevin Apasha says that, Chayiv. That it's a specific case where Rabbi will say you're Chayiv by the Edom Zum case. Because we, I have no clue what this ends up meaning.
I'll translate if you don't want to.
Yeah, another, I translated that because we require that you need to establish the hazama regarding of each one.
I don't need a Sansino translation. The point is, Rabbi Nutam says that when you are to be punished with kasher zamam, we have to punish you for things that you wanted to do to each and every victim. Now, there are two problems. That, in other words, even though you're getting two punishments, it's because you, in your testimony, I don't have to say one, in your testimony, you were trying to victimize two people, or multiple people. And therefore, since that is kasher zamam, even though you're getting two punishments, it's really one punishment with two parts, as opposed to really being one act with two separate punishments, because it involved two averos. There are two basic problems with Rabbeinu Tam Shita. What are the two basic, without reading on, what are the two fundamental problems?
We don't see this consistently amongst all 80 zomim cases.
What's that?
This rule should apply across all 80 zomim cases.
Correct. It shouldn't matter whether it's mamon lezeh and nefashos lezeh. In other words, if it's kasher zamam, if I wanted to do, and again, it's, by the way, how can Edom ever want to give a person two punishments if kamei b'derabba minei? The answer is, this is a unique case. I don't know if we have any other cases like this. How is it that you give the woman two punishments when you testify that she committed adultery? You're not really giving her two punishments. You're giving her one punishment, but you're also having another effect on her.
You're being
mafsid her something, right? You're not making her pay mama, but you're being mafsid her something. Right? That's the only reason why you could get it, which is interesting in its own right. The Rishonim don't sort of highlight this point. It's an anomaly. Right? It's an anomaly, a situation where you can have someone get two punishments and everybody agrees it's possible. One of them is a real punishment, putting her to death. The other is just mamela. Right? And as I suggested when we started this discussion earlier in the week, it was a contractual obligation which she didn't fulfill. It's not stated it's not written in our ksubas, but one of the things that's assumed for the woman is that I don't violate certain terms. Right? I'm not a moredes, and I'm not a mizana, and thing. So it's understood. So it's not that it's a punishment, it's a mamela that happens. Now, but putting that aside, so the bottom line is that every Edom Zomim case, whatever the totsa'ot of the Edom Zomim's testimony were, that should be given to the Edom Zomim when they are huzam. That's Rabbeinu Tam's problem number one, and you know from the sugya that's not so. Right? You know that in the case of where they want it, the Edei Habal, when they're huzam the first time around, you know that they're being mastered of the ksuba and that they're getting her, trying to get her killed, and therefore they should be killed and have to pay her the money. So why not? That's question number one. Question number two, which is a textual question more, I mean, that jumps off the page of the Gemara is, I don't know if you thought about this. Not all of you have reached the stage, or maybe not, where you know all the makoros on this page cold. But you will, some of you I think do understand, that those of you who are starting to know it a little closer to cold, how useful it is knowing all the Gemaras well before you do Tosfos. Right? It just adds a totally different dimension when you learn Tosfos. Right? You become a partner in dialogue with Tosfos as opposed to just a passive recipient of Tosfos Kasha, Tosfos Answer, Tosfos Yishuv, and so on and so forth. There's a Gemara that should jump. What I formulate, what Rabbeinu Tam is saying, is that the concept of Mamon Lezenefash Zeh is not a general din in Kamei Arvinei. It's just an Edom Zomim. Nowhere else does it apply. Everywhere else, come leave the Rabbi Minei. It's a unique din of Kasher Zaman. Benny, what jumps off the page at you immediately? Or there's a hand up back there, but I can't see who it is. Yitzi?
The name is very misleading. It's not Mamon Lezeh or Nefasho Lezeh.
I agree with you. That's just a question that the formulation is not the way I necessarily would have formulated it. But the reason why it has to be done is, however you answer the first kasha, now you know why the formulation has to be. And as Rabbi Tam will say, that if the mamon and the fashos of kasha zalam is the one, you don't need to give both punishments. It's enough to give one. What's that? Once you accept the first premise that you don't apply by all kasher zamam cases, only by some, that's why you have to formulate as mamon lezeh nefashos lezeh. You can't say because of kasher zamam, because it's not always true. So the first kasher remains a kasher. Rabbi, it's a dachuk teretz. Rabbeinu Tam gives a teretz, but there's a more obvious problem, Alex.
It seems that the Gemara says explicitly by the case of the Gdi and the Avad that it's mamon lezeh nefashos.
No, but you're on the right track. The Gemara doesn't say that. It says avda the Gdi dechad and avda dechad.
Right, something it seems.
It's not a bad point, but there's even a more obvious one. Yeah,
it's the last one on the source sheet.
Ayin Dalet in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara has a Havamina to invoke. Mamon lezeh nefashos lezeh is the chiluk between the two, and then the Gemara rejects it. Now the Pashas is the Gemara is not. In other words, it's according to Rabbeinu Tam, where the whole concept of mamon lezeh nefashos lezeh is unique within Kasher Zamam. It's a very strange. Well, however you want to read the Maskana. Rabbeinu Tam could say, what's the Maskana of the Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet? The Maskana of the Gemara is exactly that point. You thought that you could make a chiluk based upon Lachad versus Lezeh, and the answer is it doesn't apply because this is Rodef, and that only applies by Edom Zomim. Right? You could say that, but it's still a very strange Havamin of the Gemara. If conceptually speaking, Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh is based upon a partial application of Kasher Zamam, why would anybody have thought that it would be relevant by any place outside in his own? Okay, again, it's not a tifta, but it's a shtekel akashin, Rabbeinu Tam. In other words, the Gemara should never, you know, sometimes you can say there wasn't a great Havamina, but here you can't even invent what if Rabbeinu Tam is right, what were they thinking? What were they thinking? I didn't.
Could it just be that Rabbeinu Tam is trying to be, he thinks that Rava thinks that it only, because he says the Rava,
no, I think Rava is the one who holds that Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh Yechayev too. So even Rava holds it's limited to Edom Zomim. That's the point, Rabbeinu Tam.
So
yeah, Rava and Rav Yosef, they go together.
Rabbeinu Tam is saying Rava and Rav Yosef.
Yeah.
They're
one and the same. Pasha, they're one and the same. So the point is that Rabbeinu Tam is saying that even Rava and Rav Yosef, who hold that Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh is chayiv, that's not a din, really, a general din in Kamlei Brahmani scenarios. That's specifically a din in Edom Zomim, because in order to do Kasher Zamam, you have to give the Mamon and you have to make them pay Mamon and kill them.
And so there's no way there's an unnamed Tanakama who's even more Mechayiv in Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet. The Rava could disagree.
Oh, you're saying you're correct. According to Rabbeinu. So this is another thing, which I guess really is Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, his Derech, is according to Rabbeinu Tam, there might not even be Machlokas at all. Rabba and Rava and Rav Yosef might totally agree. And in fact, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it was one of his rayas, which Tosus rejected on Girsa grounds. Right? One of the rayas for Rabbeinu Tam was, you're going to read in a second, was that Rava holds Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh is chayav by Edom Zomim, and Rava says, HaRodef Achar HaRodef Sheshiber Kelim is Potter. Right? So so you see what? Can't be that there's a machlokas, because Rava doesn't argue with Rava. So you see that the two positions are compatible, that Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh is only Shach by Edom Zomim, not by Rodef. But that is not a riot because the correct Gersa is Rabba.
So couldn't it just be that Rava wouldn't hold, that Rava would obviously never agree to the distinction between Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh and Lachad, but the Gemara in Ayin Dalet is not a Liba the Rava. That the Havamina,
okay,
that
so
it could be
you can the, say all that, but that's not what Rabbeinu Tam is saying.
He says the
Rabbeinu
Tam, the Rava Dafka,
Zomim, not Rava Dafka. Rava Dafka Gabe Edom Zomim.
But is he necessary? Maybe it's not the
again. If
exactly what he's saying, but it's possible that
if Rava is the one who says Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh Chayev, and Rabbeinu Tam says that's Dafka by Edom Zomim, so it means that, so you could say that that there are those who argue on it by Edom Zomim, but outside of Edom Zomim, no one will disagree, everyone will agree that Kamei Rabbeinu.
Okay.
So if Rabbeinu Tam, I think Rabbeinu Tam, but from his next Raya,
yeah, it's true.
From Rava, he's wanting to say that this is not even a Machlokas. That is really Darko Bakodesh. I mean, it's the position of the Balak Tosfos generally, but Rabbeinu Tam is a master at avoiding contradictions. He might have been the master of it.
So do we have a way to miyachi that the Gemara in Ayin Dalet wants Tosfos to mention Girsa?
Well, again, you don't have to be miyachi, but now you have an option of saying this machlok, because you don't have to say. It could have been Rabba talking there, Rabba talking Sanhedrin, they could both agree. If both positions could be Rabba's positions...
No, but the Habamina. Even if once you say,
so you have to say again. So then you're open to say maybe that sugya has a different view on it. But if you're trying to do what Rabbeinu Tam does, which is to have everybody be olda b'kana echad, it's very hard to understand what the havamina of the Gemara is in. And again, it's methodologically speaking, there's nothing in the Gemara in Sanhedrin itself that suggests that this has to be dafka by Edom Zomim alone. In fact, the first kash of Rabbeinu Tam makes us think that maybe it doesn't have to be by Edom Zomim alone. In light of the fact that the Gemara is totally unclear and takes no position on that, if I find another Gemara that suggests in the Havamina that Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh might be Potter or might be Chayev both particular punishments, I'm less likely to adopt Rabbeinu Tam's interpretation. Rabbeinu Tam's interpretation rests upon saying that Maskana of the Gemara thought the Hava Aminu was so ridiculous. It's totally musar from anything that could possibly be. And that's a stretch. Rabbeinu Tam does it because for him, it has all the pieces fit together with no conflict whatsoever. Okay, so now you can read it, Shua. Go ahead. So now it's the kasha. See, this is why the Baal HaTosfos did not write in a way that most people can understand them. Because this kasha, again, if you know the Gemara well, then it's easy. Or it's still not easy. But what is this kasha in these four words? Umi umamon nefashos bechad gavra. What's his kasha? Why should he be pater if it's kasha zamam? And you know the Gemara there says that the Eidei Habal, when they are Huzam, only get Nefashos, not Mamon, because it was to the same person. But if it's Kasher Zamam is the issue, they wanted to kill our Emi Master Amani, so why not do that to them? If your basis for arguing Mamon Lezen Nefashos says Chayiv is Kasher Zamam, it has nothing to do with being two different people. It has to do that that's Kasher Zamam. So Rabbeinu Tam says,
Kiven de Mitzchayim Bok Tzas HaZamam.
But that goes back on the original point. Now, this Rava, the idea of Mamon Zeh Nefashos Zeh is limited to Hazama, Eidim Zon, and it also is limited to the case where each victim of your potential punishment has a separate punishment, so you have to give all of them. But if in fact, it's one victim who would have gotten multiple punishments, then even Rava would agree that you say, Kamei Ravine. Why? Because it's Miskayim Bo Miktsas Hazama. Which... Well, that's what's odd. We normally think Miktsas Hazama would be part of the Eidus as opposed to part of the victims, right? It's in other words, we would think that Miktsas Hazama, the definition of Miktsas Hazama would have been if you give one of the victims punishment, that's Mishavitz. Rabbi Tam says, no, Miktsas Hazama means that with Leklape, every single victim, as long as a punishment that the Edom Zom are getting, a or one of the punishments they're getting, addresses the needs of that particular victim, you know, it corresponds, that's enough. It's called justice. Edom Zom. It's dachuk. Zach?
I don't think it's a particularly strong question. I mean, time, like, why, meaning, if he's saying that the whole problem is kasher zomam, so why kasher zomam to one person is different than kasher zomam to two? But I think he's saying that Hazama is based on the parties.
It's based on
the parties involved. Meaning, Rava's chiddush here is that Hazama has to do with the people. You plan to do whatever it is to.
Right. I plan to get this woman killed, and to be Maksuba.
What you want to do is about the parties involved. You wanted to do multiple things to one person, so that's Hazama. You mix us Hazama is fine. That's Rava's chiddush. However, if you leave out an entire party, so then how can you call that Hazama in terms of what you intended to do to that person?
I mean, I know this is a little bit of an absurd question, but it's not totally. So let's say an Eidim wanted to hire the guy $200. So you know, we'll make the Eidim's own pay $50 because it's Miktsas Hazama. It gave part of the punishment.
Right, and no one would say that. Because
exactly.
But it's not... What's the basis for saying? Why would you say that?
If I can say, if Rabbeinu Tam says that when I damage two different people outside of Edom Zom, I only get one punishment.
But one full punishment, $50 out of a $200 punishment is...
Okay, now I understand, but that's the point. In other words, why is $50 not called Miktsas Hazama? But I know how to categorize it. I get that. But Minas Svara, why should it be? You know, by Malkos, for example, you know, just it's not a great mushel, but think about Malkos. What happens if a guy is, you know, he can't handle all the lashes, you know? So what? Or he was omud for 39 lashes, and then after a certain number of lashes, it's clear he can't go on. So what do you say?
Those lashes.
Great. Why? You got some of the male lashes. Ah, but it was some of the 30.
Because we're only five to
okay. But let's say he gets better now, and he's able to now once again withstand the power of lashes. What's the thing?
Bring him back to the same thing he already had.
No, he never finished off his malchus.
Or he went home and like slept it off for a couple days. Is that?
Yeah, well, that is what will happen. If you give a guy is supposed to get 30 malchus, and after 15 malchus, it's clear that he can't go on. You're going to kill him, so you stop. He goes home, goes to bed. A week later, he's feeling much better. You invite him into court, so let's finish the job. Why not? No.
Okay, right. So, yeah.
Why? Because since he got some of the malchus, that's the whole punishment.
No, he was only chayv at that time. Once you
realize he was umud for 39 malchus. But let's say it was a mistake.
And once you realize that you were mistaken, he's no longer chayv.
Let's say something deteriorated between the 39 when he was umud was correct. Again, I know it's not a perfect mashal. What I'm saying is that this mixas hazam idea that I give you part of the punishment because it's one whole unit.
No, but it's a
that's called by and again.
But
why? That's the point.
Why does that difference make a difference? You can make as many differences as you want. You have to explain why this should affect the svara of kasher zamam.
Because
you can make a distinction does not mean therefore we have to make a difference.
No, he said something. No, he wasn't quoting Mel. He said something
that?
Else.
One, that's right. Mel is in 11th grade MCA.
Yeah, no, correct. Now he said something else. What he said was correct. It's not my line. That's a different line. And the point is, why should that be? In other words, why should it be again? That's why I gave you the example. If you make it pay $50, is that sufficient? Because it's mixas hazama.
That's not for punishment. Mixas onish. That makes us hazama.
I know, but by the same token, that when you want to give two people, why should we cheshbon by the gavras, not by the punishment itself?
Okay, fine, but. That's a question I'm going to ask.
I can define. I know that's exactly the question I'm asking. That's why I said it's just a little bit difficult. That's all. I can tell you. You're repeating to me what Rabbi Natan says. I know what Rabbi Natan says. I know that he says. I can define for you. But the understanding why that should be so and why you should recash some that way is a big chiddush. It's a big chiddush. Adin.
I guess I'm not sure I'm adding anything, but if that Rabbi Natan understand that kasher zam. I guess I'm saying the same thing. Exactly. Kasher zamam is it's. What that teaches you is that, yeah, I guess never mind. Exactly.
And by the way, you know what you normally do when you can't give kasher zamam because of whatever considerations? You give malchus, you don't kasher zamam.
It's a case, like you're saying, you brought in kasher zamam. Rabbi Nachman doesn't quote kasher zamam. He's saying, this is
that's definitely how the Rosh understands them.
I thought, you know, he may not.
He's not fulfilling the pasuk of kasher zamam. That's what he's saying.
Skayim hazama klape kolachad.
You have to take the hazama and use.
Okay, do you know the pasuk?
Kasher.
And I want to know how many times that word appears in the Torah. How many times that this is mean? No, I don't expect you in concordance. No. I know, not doing that. I just occurred to me. I never. There's a common word and not a common word. Firstly, when does it appear as a verb in the Torah? Dovi. I forgot. Oh, instead of abusing my dafyomi man, I'm going to abuse who else here, by a show of hands, speaking the full truth, nothing but the truth, was a chidom person who made it to Eretz Yisrael.
Wait,
oh,
way to put me on the spot.
Ooh. I know Al. Oh, okay. So I assume that since most, although not all of the Torah was on there. So where else?
Was
no. Okay, now, I don't remember how many prakim of the Torah on that. It's been much longer for me than for you. It's only a few years for you. And I assume the Torah cheshbon hasn't changed. All the brachos and shmos, I think, were on there, but then not all of the latter svarim. So that might, but what I'm thinking of is in brachos. But where else? First, so let me just, before we get lost, forget this, I want to make my point to Zach. In that pasuk, v'asisem lo kasher zamam lasos lachiv. When we talk about hazama, there's only one appearance of that word in the context, kasher zamam. That's all it means. Now, just as an aside, the one that comes to mind immediately is a verb, and I don't know if there are any other verbs in the Torah, is Atala Yibatzer Mehem Kol Asher Yazimu Lasos. This week's Parsha, because it's always in this week's Parsha, right? The end of this week's Parsha. And while my dash should be Batal Itzel Dr. Steiner, I believe the root of that word is a biform of Zayin Memem, it's Yud Zayin Mem. He claims that is actually Zayin Memem. It's the same root anyway, okay? But where else in the Torah does that root appear?
Zayin yeah. Memem or Yud Zayin
Mem? It's Zayin Memem, but you know, it's not a verb. And you all know this. It's a word for lewdness. Exactly. What is the word Zima? Zayin Memem. What is the Targum of Zima, any of the Targum people, since you probably are doing Uncle Sen on a regular basis now? Atzas Chitin. Council of Sinners or something like that, right? It's Machshava. Zima is Machshava. That's what Yazimu is, the same word, Zayin Memem. That I didn't expect you to know, and it hit me right now what that word was as I was trying to think what there is. But the only other verb I know is Asher Yazimu. But my point to you, Zach, is that word is so unique in this and in this context that when Rabbeinu Tam is boyish this kaim hazama, hazama means kasher zamam.
I think that maybe it could be that, we're talking...
I want to give you a raya. I'll bring you a raya to that's the case. What's the din of two? A treifa who murders cannot be killed. You know why?
Because he's
not
dead yet.
No. He's not dead yet. I mean, the answer is yes, he may be a gavra ketila. Yes. But that's not what you can kill him.
The din is we don't kill a gavra ketila.
Of course we do. When someone is sentenced to death, after the sentence, he's a gavra ketila. We take him out and kill him.
We don't give a gmar din to a gavra ketila.
Why? How do you know that? We do, actually. This was who was this? Who were we working it out with? Who came to me? We worked out the Rashi and Chumash. Who was that? You guys. What happens if a treifa damages property? What's the din? What? Why? How do you get a gemara din against him? So I was point. So why is it the gemara says that a treifa who kills his pater? You know why? Why can't you kill him? Because you can't have edus against him. You know why you can't have edus against him? Because it's edus she'i atayochel lahazima. Why not? Because if you say you came to kill him and now we're going to kill you, they said he was dead already. He was gavra ketila. So you can't. Therefore, since you can't be mazim the edim, okay. And why is that? You can be mazim. Normally, edus she'i atayochel lahazima means that if they don't give you a time and a place, you can't say to them imanu hayisim. You can't go through the process. But what is edus? Why is it edus she'i atayochel lahazima then? Because you can't do kasher zamam. You can't kill them because they weren't trying to kill a bar chai. They were trying to kill a gavra ketila. Who's dead already? You can't be mekayim in them kasher zamam. That's what it means. It's iyata yachol azima. So that's the way Rabbeinu Tam is using the phrase here.
Why can't you say that this is?
What are you laughing at, Breck?
Oh, it's so amazing.
Oh, okay. Learn Chumash. You just
like, very good.
If you kind of contradicted like the star of Adam Zomim in the first place, but let's say you want to say that it's because you're trying to do a horrible thing to this person, you're trying to do a horrible thing to that person.
Right.
So just like Kimi Ramine, we say even if you've done something that deserves so much of a punishment, we're not going to give you that punishment. But you were a jerk to this person and a jerk to that person, that person's going to feel left out if you don't get that.
We don't want to leave people out.
We're very inclusive.
We want everyone to go home, feel very happy.
But the point is for Rabbeinu Tam. For Rabbeinu Tam. For Rabbeinu Tam, his whole notion is that the whole idea of Mamon Lefesh Hazeh cannot exist anywhere except for Edom Zomim. In other words, because Kamei Rabbeinu, we don't care who's involved. The rule is we never give you more than one category of punishment, period. So why by Edom Zomim? The answer is because the punishment of Edom Zomim is Kasher Zomim. Right? It's to be Mekayim Hazoma. Once you say that, Rabbeinu Tam understands the problem. So he's got a kvetch at Teretz, but it's a kvetch. Once you say that whatever the Edom Zomim tried to do would have caused the person is one punishment, that's the Kasher Zomim, then it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter that it's to two, to one. It should always be Kasher Zomim and you give him two punishments.
I don't agree with that.
I think that ksas raya or ksas kasha means it's not solid. Here, that's not why it's a kvetch. It is a kvetch, but I don't think that word here is the indicator. Now, there are cases in which we would legitimately say that partial fulfillment is sufficient. Here it just doesn't make sense because, again, if Rabbeinu Tam had said that across the board, we only want partial. In other words, if Rabbeinu Tam had said that when you have two different people getting with two different punishments, we say Kamlei Rabbeinu, and even though you're going to say it's not Kasher Zamam, because he said Kasher Zamam is enough if you give him one of the punishments, then obviously they wouldn't have solved this problem. That would make sense. That's where Ktas would be reasonable. We could say it's Kasher Zamam doesn't mean you have to do every single detail. If you give him some of the punishment and you give him the most severe part, that's Kasher Zamam. There Ktas would have made sense. The problem is Rabbeinu Tam has set it up that basically there is no such thing as Mamon Lezeh Nefesh Lezeh. It always comes like Rabbeinu. Now you turn around and say, but Kasher Zamam, because it's one testimony and they were going to result in two punishments. So to be Mekayim, the one ownership of Kasher Zamam, you got to do both. So then now you turn around and say, but if it's to one person, you don't? Only if it's to two people? The hazama is on the edus and the edim, not on the victims. Right? That's why Rabbeinu Tam's svar is so difficult. I think Rabbeinu Tam makes sense.
What makes you say that?
It's just against the Gemaras, but yeah. What?
What makes you say that it's on the innocent, not on the victims?
That's what Devarshah Zemam. Akasha, remember, let me tell Svara. Remember, when you're Mazim Edim, the Edim HaMazimim, do they exonerate the accused? No, they don't. They get him off the hook because there's no Edis. The whole point of Kasher Zemam could be even when the guy is guilty.
Isn't that
a hypothetical? No. Let's say it turns out that two Edim come and say Reuven killed Shimon. And then they're huzam by another two Edim and say, you were in San Francisco with us. And then two Edim come and say, but Reuven did kill Shimon in New York. And those Edim stand. Okay. We kill Reuven, and we also kill the Hazama. Why? But Reuven was guilty. The answer is, doesn't matter. Because the Hazama is not about the victims of their testimony. The Hazama is about them. The Hazama is about their testimony. And if the whole point of Kasher Zemam is your testimony would have done X, Y, and Z, and therefore you're getting X, Y, and Z, we don't say Kamali Rami, who cares whether it was one victim or two victims? If you want to be mitarit, you tell me, it's kasher zemam lasos le'achiv and the yachid. So each one b'fnei atzma. I mean, I could go on. I could say all sorts of things. Rabbeinu Tam, it's a difficult. Rabbeinu Tam is difficult. There's an elegance to understand. This is a window into Rabbeinu Tam's methodology generally. Rabbeinu Tam was conflict averse. I don't know that in his personal life, I don't know if he was that way, but in his exegesis, he's conflict averse. One of the characteristics of the Baalei Tosfos that some of you know, and if you haven't taken medieval Jewish history and read Jacob Katz's Exclusiveness and Tolerance, have you done that yet? Second half. So you will know that Chachmei Ashkenaz, when they were confronted with communal practice that disagreed with the texts, they were miyashe. What they didn't do is the modern post-Chazanish attempt to say it's all treif. They didn't discard the mimetic tradition. But how they went about doing that is very interesting, right? Because the gamut can run, you could say, mutaf shiyu shogin vayu mizidin, which is what the Gemara says by Dan Sanyonto, which is what some of the Baalei Tosfos say, Dan Sanyonto, that it's usher, but mutar shiyu shogim izidin, all the way to saying it's really mutar. But even within mutar, there are different approaches to saying mutar. So when you look at Tosfos at the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah, when the Mishnah says that shlosha yom lefnei edayim shogayim ein nosin v'nosin imohem v'lo, you can't be loven malven, sho'alu mashiel, and porin and nifrayin, and so on, you can't do any of those things. So the most important one was the first one, which was nosim and nosim imayim. What does nosim and nosim imayim mean? It's to do business, masa mata. So the problem was that Jews and Jews and Ashkenaz were doing business with Christians even on Sunday, which is their Yom Eid.
It's not the same.
The Gemara says that in Eretz Yisrael, where according to the Shita, the 3 days before their festivals and 3 days after, you're not allowed to do business, there's a censored passage on Daf Zayin and Beis where the Gemara says that you can never do business with a Christian because every day is either Yom Eid, 3 days before, or 3 days after because of Sunday. It got censored, so the Gemara is nonsensical the way it reads in our printed text. But in Chutz Laaretz, it's only the Yom Eid. It's only that day. But the Jews were doing business with Christians even on Sunday. So the Rishonim pull their hair out. And some of them say it's because of Eva. And some of them say it's because we have no choice because otherwise we couldn't make parnasa. Which is true. So few of us. All of those are basically leaving the conflict intact, but we have no choice. Rabbeinu Tam comes along and says, no, you didn't understand the Mishnah. You know what ein nosin v'nosin imayim means? It doesn't mean you're not allowed to sell to them. It means you're not allowed to buy from them. Why? You're not allowed to be nosein the object and nosei the cash. Now, Rabbeinu Tam has some other, a lot of Gemaras that seem to be against Rabbeinu Tam, the same verses seem to be a riot, but it's Rabbeinu Tam's hallmark. Rabbeinu Tam's hallmark is to avoid conflict by redefining terms, because that's the best way of avoiding definition, by avoiding conflict. So Rabbeinu Tam is the most conflict-averse, I think, of the Baalei Tosfos in terms of methodology. And so here, I think that it's not just about communal practice. Rabbeinu Tam does away with the machlokas Rav and Rabba. There is no machlokas. Firstly, he said they're both Rava, so there can't be a machlokas. Rava wasn't yes, no. But on top of that, that's Rabbeinu Tam basically says all Gemaras agree. There's no machlokas Abba Rahim. And I can make every Gemara fit with my Shita. Right? Rabbeinu Tam, we'll read this in a second. Gedi and Eved suggest what? That Mamon, Gdi Kafo, Evid Kafo suggests that Mamon Lezen Afashos Lezen is Potter. It's almost explicit, somebody who said that, but not. It doesn't use that language. Okay? Gemara and Sanhedrin's Maskana was Mamon Lezen Iloshna. Mamon Lezen Afashos Lezen Potter. Madlikas HaGadosh B'Shabes suggests, even if you had a Havamina to think like Rashi did, that Mamon Lezen Afashos Lezen is Potter. So what really are we left with? And there's even a case of Edom Zon, which is Potter. We're left with one case, both Rava and Rabbi Yosef, but fundamentally the same thing, we are left with one scenario in which Mamon Zena Fashas Zeh is Chayev by Edom Zom. So Rabbeinu Tam says, yeah, that's Dafke Edom Zom Kasher Zama. It's such an appealing Svara. If only Rabbi Yosef hadn't made the Chiluk. Rava's Chiluk, by the way, is not a problem. Rava, who said that in one case you only give Dina Nefashos, it's because you weren't my master anybody money. You don't know who the person you remastered were. But Rabbi Yosef's case is what gets you in trouble. It's Rabbeinu Tam in trouble. It's Rabbi Yosef's case. Because he's got an Edom Zomim case where there were two punishments that would have been the result of their testimony, and yet you only give them one because it was to one person. And that, if it's Kasher Zomim, who cares? Okay, it is what it is. You see?
To follow up on the
Sola Chiv. No, I don't want to go.
Well, because
Chazal already used that for a drasha, Adain Achiv Kayim. That's by the Makar that people don't know that. Rashi quotes it as Kasher Zomim v'lo Kasher Asa, but that's not what the Gemara knows. If the Edom already killed, if he got killed, then you don't kill the Edom. So it's always quoted as Kasher Zomim v'lo Kasher Asa, but that's not what the Chachamim say in the Mishnah. I don't know if that expression appears in the Gemara of Kasher Zomim v'lo Kasher Asa. What the Mishnah says is Lasos Te'achiv Adain Achiv Kayim. He's still their brother, means he's alive. But if he's not Achav anymore, because he's dead, that's what you like it or I like the drasha better of Kasher Zomim, I think. But if you look what the Chachamim say to the Tzdukim, that's what they say. Adain Achiv Kayim. Hargu Einer Ragim. I don't remember. It's not. I'm telling you.
You're transporting it into Rabbeinu Tam's Hoshita.
I didn't say Velo Kasher Asa. I said the drasha of Kasher Zomim v'lo Kasher Asa. That's all.
As Dafka has got to be Kasher Zomim. And nothing else.
Kasher Zomim in the past, in desired as opposed to successful. It's a separate issue. Okay, so go ahead. This better be quick, Yitzi. Okay?
I want to think about it.
Okay, excellent, fine. See? Okay, so, continue. So that's a riot. There has to be that resolution, because how could Rava say two opposite things? Right? If Rava says by Edom Zomim, Mamon Zena Fasha says Chayiv two punishments, and by the Rodef he says he's Pater. So obviously, Rava, is not contradicting himself, but the Gemara would have pointed it out. So obviously, the two positions are compatible. But now. Habi Rava. Okay, fine. So that's not a raya. Odom Rabbeinu Tam.
Odom Rabbeinu Tam de al karcha kuli alma misa lezev tashlum lezev pater. Da kinle the derabi mina de pater nafgalan milo yehi ason vegomer.
Right, so just think about the standard Torah case, which again, I think it's, I don't know if it's Pshuta Shemikra for sure, but it seems like that there's no payment of damim. So the question is, why isn't there a payment of damim if you kill the woman? Because the Misa is to the woman, and it's not a Rodef situation. We're not dealing with the potential redif of his chaver. He actually killed the woman in his Chayiv Misa, and he also killed the Vlados in the process, and the husband has lost his money. So Rabbeinu Tam says, in the paradigmatic case of Kama and the Rabbi Yunei, it's a case of Mamon Lezen, Nefashas Lezeh. So how could anybody in their right minds claim that Mamon Lezen, Nefashas Lezeh is Chayef Shnayim? Impossible. Because the Makor for Kama and the Rabbi Yunei is by a case of Mamon Lezen, Nefashas Lezeh. Seems like a good Raya. So, Yaakov, you look, right? So now, the Balei Tos is deflect. What's that? Oh, that is. It may not make the feminist happy.
He gets the money.
But he gets the money. The Torah says.
I don't,
but
does he get the money because it's from Yerusha or because it's his kids?
No. There is no money in this case. The money, it's when she's alive. The Torah says. When the woman, v'lo yason, anoshe anesh, ka'asher yoshis alav ba'al ha'isha v'nasam b'filim. It's not black and white. The Chazal assume where there's mev lothers, it's shalbal. This may be an obscure case where it could go to the woman and not to the Baal or to his Yerushim. I forget what the case might be in a situation, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if everybody holds it, if anybody holds the sway in the Maskana, where the husband has died and afterwards, after his death, the person strikes the pregnant woman. In that case, maybe some say that the money goes to her. But ordinarily, the whole idea of the Mevlados is odd. Right? The whole idea of odd, we don't put price tag on B'nai Chorin. Right? If it were an Eved, we understand. An Eved has an economic value, and you can buy and sell Avadim. But not if you kill the Eved. You know, as an Adam. So in this case, I understand the fact. Look, it's one of the basic rayas. The starting point in the discussion, not our discussion now, but our discussion of abortion, is that abortion is not murder. Because how could the Torah assign a monetary value? Although a lot of the Rishonim say this, at least in the starting point of the discussion. Which is, how could there be, if it's considered a form of murder to kill a fetus, how could there be a tashlumen? So on that, but even Aniach, grant that premise for the moment, which I think most Rishonim accept that an ubar is not a nefesh, certainly not in the full sense. Nonetheless, how will you have the mevlados? What's the point? You normally pay things because it's compensation. What kind of compensation is there? If it were an evet, I'd understand. And I damage, if a shivcha was pregnant, and I kill the fetuses, and it's not murder, so therefore it doesn't run afoul of the principle of lo sichu kofar nefesh rotzeach. So I understand that the children born will have value. The owner can sell them. The owner can use them for work, so it has economic value. What economic value does that? Oh, that's a big if. No. I that's not a big if for that reason, because there are so many hechitims that you could ask the question if it would ever. I mean, unless that's part, again, I'm asking, I assume that the Nasam, that Kasher Shalai Shah is that we evaluate what the Vladis will be worth as Avadim. That's what I always assumed. You're suggesting maybe that, and then what if it were a male fetus? Let's say we see from the miscarriage it was a male fetus. Okay. All right, anyway. This, by the way, is a little bit Kain of the Heftza Svara, not the same thing. But the Zach had this idea that we relate to the cheftza in which the damage took place, and even though the mamon goes to the baal, since you killed the woman and you killed the vladus that were inside her, we treat her as like one entity of one cheftza. Okay? So the Gemara wanted in the Havamina to say, maybe even though a rodef is nitan latzila bechan meivarav, you're still allowed to kill him. And the kasha, the raya that had been brought against that was the fact that the Torah is mechayev dmei vlados when the isha isn't killed. And the question was, why is there dmei vlados if in any case of rodef you're allowed to kill the rodef? So by definition, he says chayev misa, he should be potter because of kam leibed rabbi. Not only in a case where he kills the woman, but even in a case where he tried to kill his friend, that temporary misa which he doesn't actually get of rodef of mischayev benafsho should be enough to potter him from the dmei vlados. That's what the Gemara says. That was the Gemara's riot. The Gemara's answer temporarily was, the Chia was to say, no, maybe in a Hanami you are allowed to kill him under any circumstances, and you want to know why does he have to pay money, and the answer is because the Tashlum and the Baal, right? And there's the Misa in that case where you don't kill the woman, the Misa is to his friend, not to the woman. Okay? So in that case, the Gemara says that that it could be that Taka, you are allowed to kill a rodef, even though it's nitan latzila bechan meivarav. But in this case, he was chayev misa to one person and chayev mamon to another person. Okay, that's what the Gemara's hafayin was. And nonetheless, despite now afilu hachi. And what that's a very packed line, which is the hardest part to understand here. What does that mean? Afilu hachi kisheish ason patur. That's the first half of the Gemara's statement, the Havamina. In other words, the Gemara wanted to contrast two cases. In one case, you say he's patur from the Beivlados. In one case, he's chayev. What's the case he's chayev in the Beivlados? When he tried to kill his friend and didn't kill anybody. There it's mamon lezen, afashas lezen, and that's why he's chayev both. What's the case where he's patur from the Beivlados? Where he actually killed the woman. And the Gemara wanted to say, why do you pay the Beivlados in one case and not in the other? No, it's the Torah's two cases. On the assumption that you're allowed to kill a rodef under all circumstances, even if they tell the Tzila Becham Mevar. So those are the Torah's two cases. So what does the Gemara want to hypothesize the distinction is in the Kamlev of the Rabbi? You know, why didn't you say Kamlev of the Rabbi in both cases? The answer where the Gemara was? The case of when he didn't kill the woman was Mamon Lazer the Baal and Nefashos Lazer, his friend he tried to kill. In the other case where there was an Ason Be'isha, it's Mamon and Nefashos Lachad. So Tosa says, you see from the Gemara that even though the money actually goes to the Baal, the case where you do actually kill the woman, the Gemara considers Mamon Refashas Lachat. So therefore, you cannot bring me a Raya that Mamon, that from the Makor of Kamei Rabine, that it applies even by Mamon Lezad Refashas Lezad. Because Asan Beisha, when the woman dies, that's called, you see from the Gemara, but black on white. I mean, I don't think there's a teretz for this. You're going to tell me there must be a teretz. I don't know if Rabbi Tam has a teretz for this. There is that you see black on white from the Gemara, not from the Pesukim, from the Gemara, that's called Mamon Nefashas Lachat. Shlain.
I mean, unless the Gemara's Havamina wasn't fully fleshed out.
Unless
the Gemara's Havamina wasn't fully
fleshed out. I don't understand, but what was the Havamina was that you should be Mechalek in the Chiyuv because this is called Mamon Lezeh Nefashas Lezeh.
That's not the Chiluk the Gemara's making.
Yes, it is.
The Chiluk the Gemara's immediately responding to is Yachal HaHatzel Bamei Avara. Right, he's talking about it's only talking about the case of the Lo Yi Ason and Oji Enish.
Not true, because the Gemara is debating. There's only one case when Lo Yi Ason, and the Gemara is debating what's that case about. Is that case about?
Exactly.
Is that case about? Is it Nitan Latzilo Be'echad Me'ivarav, and it was usher to do so, or it doesn't matter because you're allowed to kill him even in, you know, those are two possibilities. We're not distinguishing between those two cases. We're trying to figure out what case the Pasuk is talking about. We're distinguishing between that case of the Pasuk with V'mason Yeh.
Are we even making a distinction between the two cases of the Pasuk?
Yes, that's exactly Tosa's point. Look at the second half. I think Rabbi Tam, I don't think there's any other way of reading the Gemara.
I mean, unless like, I don't see why if the Havamina were fully taking into account the details of the rest of the Gemara, what if it's not fully fleshing out the rest of the thing? What if it's local to this specific line, like the most recent?
But the Gemara is trying to explain. The Gemara is trying to explain why in the Lo Yeh Ason case there's a chiyuv of tashlumin.
Yeah,
you should have said kamei rabine. The Gemara doesn't spell this out, but what's the marker for kamei rabine? As the Mishnah Ksuba says, v'imason yeh. Right, so the Gemara wants to say, no, maybe Kamali Rabbanei doesn't apply here because it's Mamon Lezeh Nefashas Lezeh. The Gemara is being mechalik between that case and, as Tosa says, Kesheyesh Ason. I think that's the only way of reading the Gemara. I don't really see it.
The Gemara is just trying to figure out where is there going to be that. The goal of the Gemara is to say.
Yes, so you're saying the Gemara should have turned around and said, you're saying the Gemara could have said, Ulitamech? So I have a question for you. So if the Gemara was going to ask Akasha against this Havamina, should they have quoted a Pasuk or should they have quoted a Maimer of Rabbah? I think that there's a general, when something is against a Pasuk in the Torah, we don't quote a Mishnah to prove that it's wrong. We quote a Pasuk. Because you can argue on a Mishnah in theory. You can't argue on a Pasuk.
But I thought the Gemara was trying to. It seemed that the thrust of the Gemara was we want to see if it works that you could say that Rodez, you can even if not someone that's
alive. Correct. So the Gemara wanted to say that maybe that really you could kill him, and the reason why you don't say Kamal the Rabbi in this case is because he's not Chayim Misa, which was the Havamina or the Raya that Rionis Simon Shol was trying to bring. Rionis Simon Shol's Raya was on the assumption that the Lo Yeh Ason case is when Nitan Latzila Becham Nevarav, and the response of the Gemara is maybe not. Maybe that's a case where it is Nitan Latzila Becham Nevarav, and you're still allowed to kill him. And the reason why you don't say Kamali Rabbi Minei is because it's Mamon Lezeh Nefashas Lezeh.
How is that against Pasuk?
Well, no. But the point is that if in fact you think that the Gemara, so the Gemara should have turned around, if Mamon Lezeh Nefashas Lezeh were considered, if the case of Vimi Asonia, where you killed the woman, were considered Mamon Lezeh Nefashas Lezeh, Mamon to the Baal and Nefashas to the Isha, why didn't the Gemara turn around and say, how can you say what you just said? That's ridiculous. How could you say Mamon Lezeh Nefashas Lezeh is chayy both when the Torah says, V'mason yev, and asat nefesh tachas nefesh, and there's no money? How could you do that? I think the Gemara was exactly distinguishing these two cases. That's the Reis point. The Gemara was distinguishing these two cases. If it wasn't, the Gemara should have hit him over the head and said, are you drunk, Kishikus or Shalot? How could you think that? It's against the Pasuk. The reason it's not against the Pasuk is because, Riddhis Luis says, that's called Mamon Refashas Lachad, because it's Begufa Yisha. So I think Rabbeinu Tam's Raya is not, I think in this respect, it doesn't mean he's wrong, but it's not a Raya.
In response to your question about why wouldn't it break a Pasuk instead of answering Rabbah, I said, it's more interested in answering the question of why is it
not a case of Misal Zakashim. Meaning, the Pasuk tells us that it's not, but the Rava Svara tells us why. That, like, Misal Zakashim is generally...
No, no. Until you get to the Riva, it is a case of Mamon Lezeh Nefesh Lezeh. We don't care.
No, perfect. Exactly. So, like, so if you were to quote a Pasuk, that would basically lead us to the Riva's conclusion.
No, if we were to quote a pasuk, we would understand if Rabbeinu Tam were correct in his reading of the pasuk, reading of the case in the pasuk, then the Gemara would have quoted the pasuk to reject that havamina. It wouldn't have needed to invoke Rabbah.
What would the pasuk have told us?
That in Mamon Lezeh, if when you kill the woman, if when you kill the woman, that's considered a case of Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh. The machlokas, Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, is whether that is a case of Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh. It's not a machlokas in the din. The Torah says what the din is.
Yeah.
Misa, no mamon.
Right.
That's black and white. There's no arguing on that. But they're arguing what is the definition of that. The Gemara is discussing what is the case in the Lo Yason. What are the facts of the case? The Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri are arguing not as to the facts in the Ivim Asonia, but as to how one defines that. Is that defined as Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh or not? Rabbeinu Tam wanted to say it is defined as Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh, and therefore that proves to you that nobody could say as a rule in Kamalei Brahmin in Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh is Chayiv. Rava could not possibly have said that, and therefore Rava must only be talking about Edom Zomim. And the Ri says, what are you talking about? That cannot be defined as a case of Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh, because the Gemara in effect was contrasting the Asonia case with the Lo Yason case, and the Gemara suggested that the difference might be that Lo Yason is Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh, and that's why you're Chayiv to pay. Because you didn't kill any, you know, you didn't kill anybody. Because the misa was to the your friend, and the mamon was to the isha / baila. How could the Gemara should have turned around immediately and said, "What do you mean?" But the regular case in Yason is also mamon lezeh nefashos lezeh, mamon lebaal and nefashos the isha. And yet we say kam le'rabbanei, so you should say it there too. And so you must be wrong. And the answer is obviously, Rabbi says, is that Yason is a case of mamon nefashos lechat. And that's why, that's what the distinction the Gemara is drawing. And then the Gemara says, it is a distinction without a difference. Right? In other words, yes, one is a case of a Mamon and Fashas Lachad, one is a case of Mamon Lezeh and Fashas Lezeh, but it doesn't make a difference in Din. The Din is the same. Common labor, the Rabba Mina. Okay. Fine. Right, that was what the Ri says. I think that even if you, as much as I like Rabbeinu Tam, I think the Ri's dechia of that Rai is a good dechia. As the two last Rai's Rabbeinu Tam brought are not good Rai's. The Girsa, I think, correctly does away with one, and I think the Ri's deflection at Rai. It doesn't make Rabbeinu Tam wrong, by the way. It just means that he doesn't have a Rai from those cases. But Riva, Omer. So before we get this far, it took me a while to grasp what the Riva was saying, and the reason it took me a while to grasp what the Riva is saying is because the Riva is not dealing with Rashi, and fundamentally, he's not really dealing with this case either.
Yeah.
That and you'll realize that if you read the parallel Tosos in Bava Kamma. Right, because really, leave our Gemara out of the discussion. There's a stira between
Rava and the Mishnah.
Rava, no, I don't want to say the Mishnah. We could dispute Rava in the case of Gedi Kafus, right? Where the Gemara just says that Bigdi Dechad and Avda Dechad, and the Gemara leaves it at that, right? So not that Rava can't argue, but there seems to be at least on the surface an obvious, machlokes, and it's a stum of the Gemara ignoring Rava, which you wouldn't necessarily expect. Right? You also have to expect that the Gemara, interestingly enough, in Sanhedrin Yud, doesn't connect itself at all to the din of Rava on Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet. Why don't they talk about that? Because that's also Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh. So the Riva is a very simple way around that. The Riva says that normally Misa Lezeh Tashlum Lezeh is Chayiv, in fact. But the Eved Kafas Lavoro De Farshani, why? Again, the Nitan. Right. And included in that, when you're drove someone lahargo and you break someone's kalim, that someone whose kalim you broke was allowed to kill you for the redifa, not for his kalim. And when you set the gedi on fire, it's not just everybody, including the baal. You said the baal ha'eved had an obligation in theory to try to kill you to stop you from killing the eved, and therefore. The Eved, the Mamon of the Eved, and the Fashas the Eved are to one person, because the mamon is to the owner of the eved, and the fashos is to everybody, which includes the owner of the eved. And so rodev, the eved, by the way, is any time you almost any time you murder someone, it's hard to envision a scenario otherwise. You are committing an act of redifa, and therefore the two murder cases here, one that's explicitly termed a rodev, one which is, even though it's not actually, because remember, in one case you're successful in the murder also. In fact, the Gemara Bava Kama about the Gedi is really focused not on the Rodef aspect. The Gemara is focused on the fact that you killed the Eved. But the Rivam is focused on the fact when you killed the Eved, you first tried to kill the Eved. You were then successful in killing the Eved. It's on the trying to kill the Eved, it's on trying to kill the Eved that you chayv Misa for both. You chayv Misa for trying, that's temporary. Once you succeed, you chayv Misa because you did it. His point is that the Chi of Misa for trying, which is not what the Gemara is talking about, coincides with the Chi of Mamon. Okay. So this is a very difficult reading of the Gemara, but he's got a problem. His problem is that the Gemara, simple reading of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, is that the Gemara wanted to suggest that maybe there's a distinction in Kamalei Rabbinei between Lezel Lezeh versus Lachad. And the Gemara said Loshna. And the Raya is Rodef. And that was a Raya that even though it's Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh, you still potter on the Mamon. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that a case of Rodef, in fact, is not Mamon Nefashos Lachad. It really is Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh. And Rabbah just doesn't hold to that principle. Right? But the Rivam had tried to establish the polar opposite of Hushita. He's the opposite of Rabbein Tam. Rabbein Tam says the principle of Mamon Lezeh Misa Tashlum Lezeh doesn't really exist. It's just a Dinin Kasher Zamam and a limited Dinin Kasher Zamam. The Riva wants to say Adarabah. The norm is Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh is in fact Chayiv. And Edom Zonim is just one manifestation of that. But, it's not a unique Dinin Kasher Zamam. But it may be that there are more cases than you realize that fall under the rubric of Mamon Nefashos Lechad. Namely, any time there's redifa involved, that's called mamon nefashos lachad, because whoever's money you actually damaged, even though it wasn't around, theoretically was supposed to step in and you were, was allowed to kill you. And therefore, that's always called mamon nefashos lachad. Yes, sir? Let's just finish this, and then you can talk. So, but how does the Riva read the maskan of the Gemara? In other words, we read Loshna that there's no difference in din. He's reading Loshna, there's no difference because it's not actually Mamon Lachad and Tashlum and Lachad. It's actually Mamon Nefasha, Mamon Zeh, Tashlum Zeh, Misa Tashlum Zeh, it's actually a case of Mamon Nefasha Slachad. Or Misa Nefashos and Mamon Lachad. Nefashos and Mamon Lachad. So that's what he said. El-Hachi Perusha El-Loshna Mishum to have a Misa V'Tashlum and Le'echad. The Hacha, go ahead. Okay. And here, meaning in what case?
In our case, in our
Gemara, Avolcha, Truma, and Shirayin. If you look in the Marsha, by the way, this line I think is not here. He adds it in. I think he points this out. He doesn't say the line is not there, but I believe if you read the Marsha, unless I misunderstood it,
you have to assume that's what he thinks anyway.
Ah, so that's the point. Now, as I'm just pointing out, but it's important to know whether Tosas said it or not, because now you could step back, did Tosas really say it, or is there possibly another svar? I don't have another svar, but you have to ask, okay, so what about at the end of the day, when a guy is madlik as agat, so what do you have to refer to?
The original Tosas
svar. Right? Now that's the idea that Misa and Misa, whether it's Bidei Shemaim or Bidei Adam, that is solely on a religious crime, not on a crime against another person. A crime against another person is a religious crime too. But a crime against God is only a religious crime. It's not a crime against, in a civil sense, in a human sense. So if you have to, I think that Riva has to assume, like the beginning of Tosfos, that whenever you're dealing with a chi of la shamayim, b'shvil shamayim, whether it's misa spesin or misa b'de shamayim, we don't hold misa b'de shamayim, that is not called mamon lezeh Misa lezevet tashlum lezeh. I can't keep it straight in my head. Okay, we need to finish this. It's not misa lezevet tashlum lezeh because it isn't by definition. Whenever there's a misa for an onesh against God, of something you did against God, that's never called mama lezeh or nefashos lezeh. Yes.
There's two quick questions. One, I assume, I don't know that you know the Torah well enough, that there are still capital offenses against a person that you do not kill them. That Beis Din kills me for doing something to another person other than murdering them. Like there are still, I guess.
There's one. I can only think. Arayos? Yeah, there are. What?
Like Arayos?
No, Arayos. No, because Arayos doesn't have to be done against someone else. It can be done with consent. Mekalal avavimo, maka avavimo, gonev nefesh mecharo. All things which interestingly don't have kares. It's funny. I didn't realize that. It seems like all the averos whose definition is damaging someone else with the Torah gives the death penalty. There's no kares. I never realized that until now. But I once made a mistake in Shir that Rav Shechter very gently corrected me on. I assume that everything that has Misa space then also has Kares. Because I generalized from the Arayos. Because the Arayos, everything has Kares, and some of them Misa space then. But there are a few places in Shas this becomes clear and obvious. And the reason there's no Kares by Maka Vimos, because Torah doesn't say this Kares. But this issue is raised elsewhere. But I never realized that. There may be a few more. You have to figure out which other ones don't. What other Misa space then do not involve Kares? Other than these four. Eidim Zomim could be theoretically counted, but that's not a specific Avera, and that's also made out of Mach Avera. That's interesting. I never realized that. Is Karis reserved only for those sins against God? I don't know. Anyway,
I assume that if, let's say, I know that my Aedis is true and I can tell that these two people coming are trying to be Maz and me, and they're just out to kill me, they're not Rotim?
Maybe they are. I don't know.
Because then he's left with nothing. There's no case of Mamluz at Shulman. Or at least then his proof case.
Well, I'm going to answer that. You asked a very interesting question. The answer to the question is they're probably not. I don't know. I can't imagine, as a jurisprudential perspective, we can label that as a rodef. Because presumably, they're coming to... In other words, I'll tell you why. Because rodef has to have a degree of vadaos. The assumption would be is that these people are lying, Beis Din's going to catch them. It's possible they don't, but that may not constitute grounds of rodef. Okay. See, the more interesting question... You can ask, like, there's a Mishnah Melech who talks about some of these issues. Can you kill a Goal Hadam who's chasing you to kill you? Now, there are a few other cases. Let's say we know the answer to this question. What about the Beis Din's executioner? Are you allowed to turn, you know, if somehow you could free yourself, can you kill him? The answer is absolutely not. That's clear, because he's doing a mitzvah. He's doing what he's supposed to do. Goal Adam is a more interesting case. Can you turn around? The case where everybody agrees you're allowed to kill someone, even though he might be doing some, not type of mitzvah, but is a kana and pogibo. The Gemara says that had Zimri turned around and turned kill Pinchas, he would have been pater. So that's an interesting type of case. You know, what who's called the rodef, who's not? You know, it's not the standard rodef case of innocent. Mutter.
You're going to read that in my first parsha reader.
What's that?
You're going to find that in my first parsha reader.
A lot of things are not in your first parsha reader. What's that?
You'll find all 10 of the miracles that happened when Pentecost killed Zimri.
What, in your parsha? No, I think some of them wouldn't qualify. You'd have to give certain lessons before you could teach the Medrash. So there's some psukim that you unfortunately have to gloss over as well. I always wondered I say this jokingly, but the reason why Shmuel ben Achbani and Yonasan said that Kalom Ruvain Chata Ein Alatoa, he said what he said is because they had to teach Vayishlach to the kids, so if you didn't have another interpretation, what were you going to do? So, anyway, I'm joking when I say it. It's not true, that's not why. It's a certain Shita, but, alright, so I think if you look in the Marsha, what does he say? I thought there was a Marsha on this. I hope I didn't make, where is it? Did I invent this? I thought I saw something because... Oh, he puts it on Chavtes Amid Beis. Yeah, the last line, he says, L'feirusho, if you look in the Marsha, it says Ulefeirusha, Rabbi Mendelssohn would be proud that we're reading it. Ulefeirusha, Tzarech lo marhach tehidras agadet shudishmaitin, the kar shiran, the pot hainu shindal, mikri misazan, tashulam zeh, kevin damisa l'shalayim v'lo b'shvil adam, kamosha kasva tosas la'el. Aval fi perish Rabbeinu Tam, nicha hach tehidras agadet shudishmaitin, b'lav hachi, because you would never say mamon l'zeh nefashas l'zeh yichaya both. So that last line, hachashim mistash nachot kamo b'ad the gadish, No, the Marsha is just explaining Tosfos, and it seems to me from his comment explaining Tosfos that he didn't have the last bracket apart because that's what he's explaining. And if it were in his Tosfos, he wouldn't have said it. That's why probably somebody went back and put it in brackets. Yes. Okay. Okay. Are we completed? Excellent reading. And other things too. Yes.
The way you explained the reverse explanation of the Gedi and the Eved, he's only a rotif. You're not a rotif once you've committed the act that is going to murder the Eved.
Once you did it already, yes, you're correct.
So the time, if you split it up, you can split up that the time that you kill the Eved is the same time you're chayiv for the Gedi and you're not a rotif.
No. So I would say the following: what do? You set fire. I don't care. Let's to the Eved. That fire, the maisa that you do, is already mechayiv. Is mechayiv as you set a step forward to do it, and when you light the up until the time you light the evidence, and I would say including it, that is a maisa redifa.
Including it? Why including it? Once you've done it, it's...
Well, the Eved's not... Well, I would say...
And it's not about when the Eved dies.
I think that's close enough to being simultaneous. I see you're starting to split hairs.
Then you have to adopt the
Oh, problem. Here it goes. You're trying... You're
yeah, split. That's all, you have to say that. Because when the other case, in the Rodave...
You're being a pain.
Mamish on Rodave, when you break that cleave. That's Mamish Brian Gachar. But this isn't Mamish Brian Gachar.
I realized as I was describing the comment before that someone was going to ask that question. It hadn't occurred to me before. Okay, so I'm comfortable enough saying that that is simultaneous. That as long as when I the one action that I go and I light the Eved on fire, okay, that is also the same action that kills the Eved subsequently and burns the Gedi.
You could bar from the next sugya when you throw the arrow.
No. It's not going to help you here. That won't help you here. Well, but I think that's called simultaneous. That's close enough to get the other ban kachat.
That's what the Ritz was saying before, right? It's considered a choshev ban kachat.
No. This is more than that.
But you are saying.
No, here. This is what I'm going to tell you. Listen to me for a second. The act of up until the very moment. In other words, in the Ritzpah's case, they're separable. They're one long action, but you could easily divide. In other words, there is a lull in between that you could point to. Here, by definition, they are adjacent. They are mamish adjacent. In other words, up until the last moment before the fire touches the Eved, okay, then you are in a state of Radifa. As soon as the fire touches the Eved, you're chayim mamon as well. You're chayiv misa for the action at that point, and you're chayiv mamon. Chayiv misa because he ultimately kills him, and you're chayiv mamon because it ultimately damages. So here, they really are adjacent. They really are adjacent. There's no time. Now we're going to get into the question, is Kamei Brahmi defined as being simultaneous, or there being no time elapses in between? I know. I'm inclined to think simultaneous, but this, I think, is indistinguishable. I hear what you're saying. If you want to say that in the Ritzbah, you have to claim, in that case, you have to. You're going a step further. You're correct. Okay. I'm moded to that. I do not want to talk. This is a beautiful Tosfos, and we said lots of wonderful lamdas in it. And Sunday, everything is regular Sunday. So this Sunday we are going to go on. And many of you probably were still in this Tosfos, but now we are going on, and we are going to move quickly. Not that I won't accept discussion, but we want to first get an overview of the way the Gemara is going with this, and then we will till the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. So the two dots. What? Just Gemara Rashi. So one second. I